You're listening to Spokespeople.
Hey there, podcast listeners. This is Zoe.
And this is Becca.
And we're part of the team that hosts the Spokespeople storytelling events.
This story is from our January 2013 show at the Pickle Jar in San Francisco. The theme that night was too much information, and this story is by Sam Hainer.
The story that Sam told is fantastic and also is very sexually explicit, so we just wanted to give our listeners a heads up. Enjoy! Our next and final storyteller is Sam Hainer.
So first of all, I just want to thank the Pickle Jar. Whoop. Thank the Pickle Jar a lot for having us here. Thank you. And all the other excited and wonderful speakers. I actually did learn a lot, and a lot of the things in this story have come up specifically in Justin's. by a lot of other people. So I am here tonight to tell a story that I've only told, I think, 5 times before, although it happened 15 years ago. So I average once every 3 years that I come out and tell the story. So I'm here today to talk to you guys about the masturbatory minority of bed humpers. So here I was pooping when you guys voted on the theme, but I would have yelled science. So I'm gonna drop some science. Here's a chart of official science. As you can see here, non-bed humpers over here, and there's me with bed humpers. And then here's I thought my friend Spencer Wallace deserved his own category. He says that he can will himself to orgasm just by thinking. And he's never proven it publicly, but I trust him. And really, bed humper, I mean, are there any bed humpers in the house? Boop, 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 boop. That's right. All right, it's a small pie chart. Wow, I am surprised, actually. I thought at least like 7%. Oh, that's a great point. So bed humping really is a fine art. It started in ancient Rome, I think, when they invented beds. And as soon as their beds, there was humping, and it's, you know, it's like, you know, you do that. But it means any service, which, you know, in childhood days, if nobody teaches you how to masturbate, right? You know, seems fine because you have all these great tools that you can use, like your grandma's about to walk in and all of a sudden while you're humping a bed, you can play dead, like, then you're right back up to it and they never know, you know? And my grandma's going to feature huge in this story. But people don't tell you about things that you're going to have to grow up with in adulthood. Like, for instance, it's very much harder to masturbate at work. Anyways, I want to tell you guys about me and what's your name?
Ben.
And the origin of Ben and I's tendencies, and where that might come from and how that might evolve. So, this starts when I was 12, and this is really the story. This is the origins of masturbation for me, as if it's like a superhero. It is kind of a superhero. It really is the story of my grandmother and a bear. Let's get to it. 12 years old, Sam Fisher was like my doppelganger at the time. His name is also Sam. We went everywhere. He was like the cooler, hotter one. I was like other Sam. You know, we went everywhere together. It was sixth grade, and we were playing 1080. It's like a snowboarding game for Super Nintendo. Yeah. And there's this one song called that goes, "Work your body, work your body, work your body, work your body." And whenever that would come on as the theme, Sam would start off like before, you know, it said like, "Ready, go." And then he would go, "Work your body, work your body, what, work your body, work your body." And I was like, "That's so fun. Yeah, we're masturbating." And that's like what you say when you're trying to know, pretend like you know what's going on. Because I had never masturbated before. And we were in sixth grade together, and he loved masturbating. And he talked about it all the time and all the ways he'd masturbate. And I was like, yeah, so, I mean, that's like what we do, right? And he goes, yeah, it's like, work your body, work your body. And so my first attempt of many, the beginning of the training montage, is I go home, or really I already am home with 1080. And Sam's left. And so I tried out, and although like ejaculating ended up being the most difficult thing on earth, getting a boner for a 12-year-old boy is like, duh. You know, like wind goes by. And So anyway, so Boner Town, right? And I'm in the basement. And if any of you guys become parents to middle schoolers, hopefully they're babies first, but if they become middle schoolers, like give them the basement room, keep them like really far away from you. And so that was like masturbation, like laboratories. So the beginning was, and by the way, the only reason I'm telling this thing is because I think I told this to Elizabeth once in our kitchen shortly after she had eaten, thankfully, because she didn't have to get her appetite up again until the next morning. But I appreciate her as well for inviting me here. So let's see. So I tried doing the work your body dance, and that is like really, when you think about it, it is holding the shaft of your penis and then hitting it like a cello, like a slap bass. And it is extraordinarily painful, but I don't know. I mean, I didn't grow up Catholic, so I didn't think masturbation was painful, but it could have been. And so anyways, I tried that and like nothing was working. And then he had one other move that he did. I don't know if you guys remember from 60 seconds ago, but he does the crankshaft and that does not work. And then my thought at the time, and this is going to be the theme of my trials, are I thought maybe if I just whisper to myself, work your body, work your body, work your body, work your body. That didn't work. So anyways, we're back at school. It's November or early December, and the concert, the winter concert is coming up for Seattle Country Day School. And none of us have any musical talent. So they really reduce the instruments down to these things called boom whackers, which you guys get. So they're these tubes of different lengths so that when you hit them sequentially, or like in a special rhythm, you can like barely make out jingle bells. And not only that, but I wasn't coordinated enough to actually play the boom whackers. And so Miss Pisano made me the conductor, which meant go. And then the kids proceeded to boom whack and then we go. So during boom whacker night, of course all the boys are like boom whacker, boom whacker. And it felt like that part of a movie where you see those like fading faces, like, why aren't you masturbating, Sam? Do it, boom whack. And so that night, I should actually go. I'm gonna rewind a little bit. So we're gonna climax on that night, but we're gonna build up before. After Work Your Body, there was a time where I went through a lot of techniques before I got to the boomwhacker evening, and this included my dad's Sonicare toothbrush. And I think most of my cues, I'm pretty sure, I don't know where, but they're coming from women in my life. And so Sonicare toothbrush is on there, didn't tell Dad. He already hated when I just used it for my teeth. And then the shower head, right? I'd heard about shower head or jet. But the shower head doesn't come up. This is before like Google could tell me what's up. The shower head did not come, it doesn't come off at our place, and it also is pretty low pressure. So I was standing on a chair trying to get closer. That didn't work. And then probably my favorite was actually very much like Justin's, where I had a sock and I was in the basement, and you know, I tried some sock stuff, and then I felt something building, and I was like, oh, urinated everywhere. Like all over the bathtub. And there are no locks on my downstairs bathroom, and there are two entrances. One goes to my room, aka like the escape, and the other is where my grandma comes in to do the laundry. So my grandma, I can hear her as I'm peeing everywhere, like coming down, and so I just like run away, and I remember my grandma yelling, and she has this great voice that you guys are gonna hear later. And she goes like, Jan, I think the toilet's flushing into the bathtub again. She doesn't have a Southern accent. I don't know why that came out Southern. So we're at boomwhacker night. And I've tried all these things, and that night, you know, voices in the head, masturbate. So that night is the night it's gonna happen. And so I am wearing excessively tight khakis for this performance. And I am laying in my bed and I am thinking about Emily Hamilton's lip gloss. And Phil might be the only one who understands that. But not her as a whole, just her lip gloss. And the song, like, my lip gloss is popping, was like very literal, because something happened then that my first orgasm in these tight khakis, Emily Hamilton's lip gloss, I remember being horrified about it and just like, but it worked. And I knew I wanted more of it. And it became this thing, and I don't know if you guys have really messed around with semen a lot, but it has the like amazing manufacturing strength of epoxy glue when it enters fabrics. I mean, so these khakis, this is the only way I knew how to masturbate, was think about Emily Hamilton's lip gloss in these khakis. And so these were this was the first article in my house that was to be of shame. And so these are my pants of shame. I would blah, blah, blah. And then I would put my pants of shame into the closet and try to hide it. And then I'd grab them again and I'd put them back on another night after it was dry. But if it was like if I had no homework, I mean, sometimes not. And then in these pants took on the most mysterious forms. Like sometimes it would be like the leg would be animated upward, or like it would like bow out here, or just like really incredible masterpieces. So for the sculptors out there, please get a bunch of people to masturbate. So the pants had this one problem in that it looked a lot like something that I would want laundered. And my grandma is very ardent and was just like one of the most amazing, as she is still living and one of the most lovely ladies, and helped us tremendously and was so good at washing our clothes that even hiding in the back closet, she could find it every time. And she would grab my like shell of like a man kicking a soccer ball and send it over to the laundry machine. And I'm pretty sure like it probably had to like take up its own load or like break it up. I just imagine her. So it was too much laundering. And eventually my mom was like, Sam, these don't fit you anymore. I was like, nah. And I remember her throwing them away and I didn't see them again. And so then there I was yet again, almost like pre-masturbatory states. I just had no way. Tried a bunch of other things, tried other pants, none were the same. And so you've been introduced to my grandma Muriel, and soon you're going to be introduced to a bear. And that happened on Christmas Day. My brother and I needed always to get matching gifts for Christmas. Because if we didn't, we would complain and we would talk about how theirs are better. And one time I really did win Christmas, and like my brothers hated it since. But this year we got the exact same teddy bear. It was a 5-foot teddy bear, or 12 years old. Teddy bear is awesome. And my brother took his out. We complained. We like compared sizes a lot. I'm like, oh, mine's more stuffed than yours. And eventually I took my teddy bear down to Masturbation Laboratories. Right. It's the name of my room. We're looking for a house name for our house, by the way. Think about it. No. So keep looking, yeah. Yeah, you should see your other names. They're bad. So I take it down, and this is really where a story starts. I have nothing now. I'm all on my own, and there's this giant teddy bear staring at me in the corner. And I remember one day just thinking, like, I know I've heard somewhere of babies humping their teddy bears. Let's do it. I'm desperate. And so anyways, we start humping, and the bear's great, and it doesn't move a lot, but we're having a torrid affair, and it works out, and I think about Emily Hamilton's lip gloss, and by now I've moved on to other subjects like earrings and lipstick and stuff, and then it's working, and eventually. So at this point, whereas it used to be a public teddy bear, at this point it was another teddy bear of shame. And so the teddy bear of shame had to live under the bed with a bunch of stuff in front of it if we weren't doing what we did. And there was one day, and it was maybe January or so a month later, where it was really starting to thin out right around the crotch. Like I was really, the crotch, the hair was starting to thin out, and it was really... It's really starting to lose its appeal right there. And then I remember this. I remember noticing it and be like, oh, that's funny. And then at some point, the first stitch broke. And then like a couple more stitches. And once one stitch breaks, I mean, it started going. And then I was like, whoa, there, I'm not losing you like I lost the cactus. No. And so I held it and I duct tape it. And I duct tape just the edge, and all of a sudden, Mr. Teddy had an orifice, which was very exciting at the time. And this is why I never told this story until like 2 years ago. Because why not? So now Mr. Teddy was able to do a whole variety of positions, not just our standard missionary hump, but there's doggy style. I mean, I even let it be on top sometimes. And yeah. We had a lot of fun, and it was really interesting. The term that Alex used. Where is Alex? That was such a good story. Anyways, he's back there. But anyways, the term "fucking the shit out of" is like one of the funniest phrases I know, and it was so well used there. And I always think of like blanking the shit out of something, and just how funny it is. I was thinking earlier about with this bear. Because it did have this open orifice, I was literally fucking the stuffing out of it. And like it went, and stuffing was ending up all over the place. It's just like all over. It was just like, oh my God, I'd just find it in my backpack, I'd find it in my pockets. Because I also have this habit of like, for cleaning up, I'm just like, okay, get rid of this stuff. And like nobody else knew what was going on except for me. And so, you know, time goes on, and you guys probably see where this is going, but my, you know, slowly the bear starts going like, and soon it's just like this flap of fabric, and I don't know, like, what to do, and you know, there's stuffing everywhere still, and I'll go pee and see stuffing, and I'm like, oh, God. So one day, and I'm hiding this, like, especially now, and one day, and here's where this is gonna start being relevant. One day, let's see what happens. Okay, so my grandma has been noticing stuffing everywhere. And she occasionally mentions to me, hey Sam, like, do you need more stuffing for your teddy bear? Or like, where is your teddy bear? I'm cleaning it all over the room, like, you haven't shown, I'm like, oh God, grandma, please no. Like, no, I'm really okay. And she's like, all right, well, you sure? I mean, like, I'm happy to go over to Joanne's Fabrics. And I'm like, please, no, Grandma. And one day I realized, like, her questions are just getting too severe, and I need to do something about it because she's going to do something about it. And so after school, get the bus back, go to Inner Bay, walk to Joanne's Fabrics, walk home. I have two big bags of stuffing. I am going to fix the problem and bring Mr. Teddy back to full health, just like the old days. And there on my bed is the teddy bear, Mr. Teddy, fully stuffed, sewn up, chased. And that was the end of our torrid affair. And so normally I would end the story right there, but you know what I said? You know, I've been wondering for a long time, and I always think about, you know, how much do parents really know what's going on? Like, is this just like a huge farce that we hide from them? So, here we go. It's me recording last night.
Hello?
Hey, Grandma.
So that's Muriel Hilson. No. We've never talked about masturbation before, at all. So I asked my grandma, I tell her about this entire event tonight, and she was very excited for it and thought it was such a wonderful thing, so props to the organizers. Great job. And she said, oh, it's so fun, you'll love telling stories. And I asked her, like, Grandma, do you remember? I told her the exact same story I told you today. And asked her, like, do you remember sewing up the bear?
It's Sam.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's up? No.
Okay, good. So I tell her.
Oh, you poor kid. I have no memory of that. Oh, you've got to make up something, but did I really stuff your teddy bear and sew it back up? Nice of me.
That was so nice of you.
Well, you can tell them that I remember it, but I don't.
Oh, great. Well, that was very, very fun. No, I won't.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, this is great, Grandma. I will tell them exactly that. I think that's actually, I think the truth is always funnier.
The truth is,
yeah.
Is that I can't sew. That's what makes this so interesting.
Way excited. Way excited. Thank God, Muriel Hilson. All right, here we go.
Interesting.
Is because I can't sew.
Who do you think? Do you think it was Mom?
Mother's a bit. Because she can sew.
All right, so we have a new culprit. Well, it looks like I'm just going to go through the women in my family. Next up on the phone is Jan Hilson, my mother, who at this point, I haven't introduced in the story, I didn't know was a part of this story. Very wonderful woman as well. You can see she has the same giggle as my grandma. Anyways, I asked her, and I was like, do you remember, did Grandma sew? Like, for all this time, I thought Grandma sewed up this bear that I'd been, you know, having sex with. Here we go.
No, that was me.
That was you.
Yeah.
Did you have any idea what was going on?
No, none. I felt so sorry. I mean, it's just poor flat bear. And I thought that you guys really like bears. So I figured that you'd just been, you know, how you've got telesites.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything would just get all fluffy and puffy all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And I felt sorry for the bear, and I thought you liked the bear, so I stuffed it and fixed it.
I did like the bear. more than you knew.
And I did like the bear. In fact, it was my first love. Thank you very much.
Thanks to Sam for sharing that story and to the Pickle Jar for providing the space.
Audio production for this podcast was by Ian Ratzer, with content management by Sarah Bars and photography by Chris Koster. Music for this podcast was by First You Get the Sugar.
If you liked this story, join us for our monthly live show in the San Francisco Bay Area. Learn more by visiting spokespeople.org. That's spokespeople.org.
And like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.
Thanks for listening.